Okay, good morning to God is building his church. God is building his church. And what's incredible is he's involving us in that process, isn't it? When he says God is building his church, God is building his church through us. And I think we begin to recognize that as a church, aren't we? And it's humbling and it's exciting. And as a church, we've been going through Romans 12, looking at how that applies to us and how that applies to the application of how we function. So this morning is a continuation of that. And the passage I'm picking up from is Romans 12, 16 to 18. I've entitled this, it's just my brain, okay, just bear with me. Don't forget your H's, because there's a few H's in there. So we'll have a look at the passage. It says, live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You got it then? You got that? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I mean, it's just a bit of a code of conduct, really, isn't it? You know, it's first reading of that. It's sort of important. You sort of think, well, we want to give a good impression, don't we? You know, but I mean, if people didn't know I was a Christian, it wouldn't really be relevant, would it? And I started to think, well, how relevant is that? And just think about, my brain started thinking about who this was directed at. Because this is taken from Romans chapter 12. So this was the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. So I was thinking about the relevance of that to the Romans. Now, I'm no historian, so everything I know about the Romans is perceived from films or books I've read. But those were some of the thoughts that just went through my mind. Okay? You might agree with them, you might disagree with them, you might think of some more. Okay? But that's sort of... My perception of them was that they viewed themselves as quite a superior sort of people. They were quite educated. But they also had some major flaws as well, I think. I think they're quite violent at times. And I don't think all of them were, but I always have this, you know, you get these drunken people on films, you know, with the Roman guards sort of sorting them out, don't you? But as I thought about it, what I've put up there is not too dissimilar from our society today. It's not too dissimilar, is it? And it clicked with me that, and I find this amazing, is that what Paul wrote then was relevant to the Romans, but it's culturally relevant to us today. I think that's quite amazing, really, that something that was written then is culturally relevant today. Now, depending on your point of view, you might consider me to be the worst possible person to bring this message this morning. Or you might consider me to be the best possible person. And the reason I say that is because I've messed up on every point in that bit of scripture. Okay? I've messed up on every little bit. I mean, if you just look at it. Live in harmony with one another. Failed. Okay, I failed. When I look back over, you know, a few years and what have you, I can't claim that. I can't claim that I've always lived in harmony. I've tried, but I haven't always done that. I failed. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. I've been a right snob sometimes. I really have. You know, I've not I'm not honoured what that scripture says there. Repay no one. Oh, sorry. Now, at this point. Never be wise in your own sight. Now, in my humble opinion, right? I don't think I've done too badly on this score, okay? And I think I've made some pretty good decisions looking back, in my humble opinion. I mean, just go and ask my wife, for example. I'm sure she'll back me up with this, you know. So, in my humble opinion, you know, I haven't done too bad on that one. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. I guess if I'm honest with myself, I haven't always operated in that way. If I've had the opportunity maybe to dish the dirt on somebody, I might have done that. All right, then I have done it. Okay? You know, I've failed on that. Ah, now this point. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, on this particular point, I mean, I know there's lots of learned scholars have translated the scriptures and all the rest of it, but quite clearly they've got this little bit wrong. You know, I think it must be perhaps just a clerical error or something like that in the translation. You know, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, you know, meaning me, you know, well, I mean, quite clearly, I'm not the problem here. Quite clearly, it is other people, you know, I mean, you're with me on this, obviously, you know, you identify with that, don't you? You know, people's, say, well, you know, how's it going? You know, fine, you know, there's no problem with me, it's all the others. So like I said, you might consider me the best person or the worst person to talk about this. But the thing is, actually, not only is it culturally relevant, but I find it uncomfortably personally relevant as well. And then the other thing I was thinking about was the guy that wrote this, the Apostle Paul. We know quite a bit about the Apostle Paul, but I just wanted you to think about what was his objective when he was writing this. You know, because Paul was a raving Christian, wasn't he? You know, I mean, he traveled to all different places. He spoke to different churches. He wrote letters to them. He taught and he preached and he debated things. He got himself into a lot of trouble and suffered conflict and hardship as a result of that, we know. But I've sort of summed it up as an objective. Paul's objective was to promote the kingdom of God. So when you think about that, when he was writing to the Romans, his objective in all of this was to promote the kingdom of God. And he wanted as many people as possible to benefit from that. I know the term or the phrase, the kingdom of God, is probably something you've heard of before. And when you think, well, what does that mean? I'd always like to think that the kingdom of God is somewhere God is. Okay? It's somewhere God is. Don't think of it as a geographical thing, you know, like the United Kingdom, but it's just somewhere God rules and reigns. And I've heard it described as the rule and reign of God's authority. So as I align my personal objectives, my personal lifestyle, my attitudes, my behaviour in line with God's, then I actually begin to release the kingdom of God in me and through me. And when I do that, and I say the kingdom of God is where God likes to be. So God likes to be in that sort of scenario. When Jesus was teaching the disciples, this is one of the areas that he taught. He was teaching them how to pray. So this is taken from Matthew 6. And it says, our Father in heaven, he says, pray like this. He was teaching them how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So what he's saying there is pray. This is a sensible request. Pray that all of heaven's environment will be an earthly environment. So when you think about what Paul was, his objective was, he wanted that heavenly environment to be an earthly environment. My sister recently gave us a dining room table. And it's one of them round ones. And she said, well, you have these tablecloths as well, because they don't need, you know, they suit that table, they're the right size. And I said, oh, great, you know. So we had this table, and we put it up. And then after a while, we put the tablecloth on it. And I was sitting there, and after a bit, I went, this smells like my sister's house. I thought, yeah, this smells like my sister's house. Now, I'm not saying my sister's house smells, if you understand this. But this tablecloth and table had brought a whole environment with it that I actually hadn't realised. You know, we bought a new carpet not too long ago as well. And you go to the shop, you pick your carpet and all the rest of it. And then it was fitted. I was at work while it was being fitted. Nettie was at home. But I got home and my house smelt like a carpet shop. I didn't pay for that. I only paid for the carpet. I got the smell for free and all the little tufty bits, you know. But it's as if it's a whole environment. And what I'm trying to convey is that there's a whole heavenly environment that actually God wants us to experience. And it's a heavenly environment that he chooses to reside in. He chooses to operate in and choose to live in. And I think that's applicable for us as a church. So I've sort of added that little bit on, that Paul's objective was not only to promote the kingdom of God, but to cultivate the environment of heaven. And that was his objective when he wrote to the Romans. So is this scripture relevant? You know, I've said it's culturally relevant, I've said it's personally relevant. But when you think about Paul's objective and think about us as a church, I think it's seriously, seriously relevant. You know, it's critically relevant if we want to be used to promote God's kingdom, if we want God's presence and God's kingdom, that heavenly environment to reside in us and through us, then it's really vital. And I found it quite helpful actually to look at it like that. You know, God, you really do want to complete something in us. So it's no longer just a code of conduct, but it's something of significance. So we're just going to have a look at that in a little bit more detail. So, I said we got some H's. Live in harmony with one another. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in harmony with one another? Those motorcyclists amongst us, I'm sure we'll have heard the phrase man and machine in perfect harmony. And they probably identify with that. They know what it means. I've watched my son's a superb skier, and watching him skiing, he's just like in perfect harmony with the skis and the undulations in the ground. Imagine a church operating in perfect harmony. It's very often helpful to illustrate it through a musical theme, isn't it? You know, because you think of harmony and harmonizing the music. And in a sense, when Alan this morning just said, let's just begin to worship God, and we just did that, there was a sense of harmony about it. My son's, my eldest son, some of you know, is a classical musician, and he's just joined a orchestra in London. And these guys are, they're good musicians. A lot of them are from the Royal College of Music. And he's been asked to join with them. And he plays his bassoon in that. And they produce, you know, high quality classical music at various events. And what is interesting, when you think about an orchestra, I know there's parts when certain instruments will play, and then another part when, you know, the other instruments will play. But there isn't one instrument in that orchestra that never ever plays. Okay? And it's a bit like us as a church. There isn't one member of the church, there isn't one part of this family that hasn't got a role. It doesn't necessarily have a role with a label on it that you can easily identify, and you might not be at the front of the meeting. But there's not one person that doesn't have a role. We all help up make up the body. And just a few weeks ago, we were talking about that, weren't we? The members of one body. And as any parents here will know whose youngsters are playing instruments or have learnt to play instruments, boy, is it painful when they're learning. Okay? Boy, is it painful when they're learning. You know, because it takes years of practice. These guys my son's playing with, you know, I bet they've really annoyed their parents over the years, you know, and the neighbours. And I think sometimes that, you know, we it's good to realise that, isn't it, and recognise that we're growing. And so maybe we need to give each other space sometimes and encourage each other as we begin to grow in that area. And why do we do this? Remember, Paul's objective is to create a heavenly culture and encourage the kingdom of God. Because this is where God wants to operate in. This is the arena that he wants to participate in. Let's have a look for another H. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Haughty. By that, they sort of mean, you know, conceited or proud, you know. Never think of yourself more highly than you ought. There was a guy at work, and he sat opposite me, and he would ring up people, you know, when you're going about your business and working, he'd ring up other companies, and he did have quite a high opinion of himself, and he used to say, oh yeah, well, I want that information, you come back to me, you know, if I'm not there, he says, my secretary will take a message. We never had a secretary. What was all that about? You know, we never had a secretary. I remember he rang up Tesco's once and complained because they called him mate when he paid at the till. And he didn't like that. You know, but how often do we actually have a high opinion of ourselves? It's funny enough, I went to see the top manager at our place, and he was moving on. He's going to manage a thing out in the Middle East. Well, he's gone now. A whole area, and he's got a massive construction job on. A seriously important guy, you know, senior guy, a lot of responsibility. And I went to see him before he went, and we had a bit of a conversation. But anyway, he said to me, he says, have you got any advice for me, Bob, before I go? Have you got any advice? And I thought, what a difference in approach, you know, that he asked me for advice. What a difference, though. But what are we like? And sometimes we have to do a bit of self-assessment and almost say, well, who am I? Who am I? Now, I am somebody that Jesus has had to redeem by dying on the cross. And it's worth viewing yourself like that sometimes, isn't it? I'm somebody that's really messed up. I said at the beginning, I'm messed up on all of these things. And Jesus has actually had to make that good by dying on the cross for me, you know, so that the consequence of my failings are no longer. That's who I am. So we, you know, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we need to treat people with consideration and respect sometimes, don't we? And the reason that we're focusing on it is simply that, again, to create a heavenly culture and encourage the kingdom of God. Because this is where God wants to reside. This is where he wants to operate in. And we're the people that he wants to do that through, which is amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Right, another H. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. We need to operate with integrity, not to lead a dual life, you know, not to be a Sunday Christian, not to be like one person in your home and in your family, another person when you're at work, another person when you're with your friends. You know, it's a case of operating with integrity and treating people with honour. There was a guy I worked with. This was some years ago, to be honest, but he did something to his finger. The details of this, I can't quite remember. He damaged his finger, mashed it all up, and I don't know, it was in a bit of a mess, and he had to go to A&E. Now, he'd bandaged it all up as best he could himself, but it needed some stitches in it, basically. And I can't remember the details, but I think he had to be somewhere else at a certain time, so he wanted this sorting out quick. And, you know, it wasn't crucial, you know, but obviously it wasn't going to get better without a bit of professional intervention. So he went to A&E, and there was a queue and what have you. And he said, oh, you know, somehow he got to the front of the queue, and he said, look, you know, this is really important. He said, oh, I'm in agony. I'm in agony, you know. And clearly he wasn't in agony compared to some other people and some other cases that were there. And he tried really hard to get his finger dealt with immediately. It's really important. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And every time he came up with a reason, he just got rebuffed every time. You know, no, you're not a priority. No, there's a more serious case. No, we got no plasters left. You know, no, we, you know, you're just being rude now. You know, all that sort of stuff. And he was quite a persuasive guy, and he said to me, I'd exhausted everything I could think of to try and get myself dealt with promptly. So as a last resort, he said to the person, whoever he was, and he said, look, be honest with me, he said, now just be honest with me. He said, if the Queen or the Prime Minister came in today with a finger like this, he says, just be honest, you'd do it, wouldn't you? He says, but, you know, please be honest with me. If the Queen or the Prime Minister came in now with a finger like this, you'd do it, wouldn't you? And she said, well, to be honest, yeah, we probably would. Yeah, we would. And he said, well, I promise you they're not coming in today, so will you do my finger instead? I sort of like his style, you know, but they didn't. They said, clear off, you know. So he didn't get the response he wanted, but you can see, just if you look at it the other way, you know, the whoever this official person was dealing with it. You know, they would clearly have treated somebody with authority and, you know, some public figure differently to how they treated him. And it's, we need to learn to operate with integrity and with respect for each other. A few years ago, I went to a church for a conference. And I went on my own. He had to book into this conference. It was a weekend conference. But I turned up there, and I pulled off the main road, and you came across the front of the building in your car, and there was like about a dozen car parking spaces right opposite the entrance, all coned off. And then I vaguely knew that you had to go down the side of the building, down a bit of road, and there was a car park down there, but I wasn't 100% certain. And it was a bit busy. And there was a guy in a high-vis jacket thing, you know, doing all that stuff. So I wound the window down and says, where do I park? And he says, oh, you're a visitor? I says, yeah. He says, you park here then. And he moved the cones and put me right in front of the main entrance. I thought, brilliant. I felt honoured. I did. I really felt honoured. I got out of the car, walked into the main entrance through a foyer thing, went into the main venue. And there were several hundred people there, and it was set out, there was, you know, round tables dotted about, and you were sort of in groups of 8 or 10 or something like that around these tables. I didn't know anybody. I was there on my own. I thought, don't know what to do, don't know where to go, you know. And there was a guy on the door, and he came up to me. He says, are you all right? I says, yeah. He says, you're a visitor? I said, yeah. He says, well, do you want to find your own way, or would you like me to get you a seat? I says, well, you can get me a seat if you like. He says, come with me. He took me right down the front of the meeting, the venue, sat me down at a table, introduced me to people. I was only with all the other leaders that were actually speaking on this venue. But, you know, I felt so honoured. Richard referred last week, didn't he, about we're operating down at the community centre. You know, will we treat everybody with honour and respect? And why do we need to focus upon this? To create a heavenly culture and encourage the kingdom of God. Because this is where God wants to reside. This is where God wants to operate through his people. I really like this last little bit, actually. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. It can tend to be glossed over, and you sort of focus on the fact that, well, if it's possible, you know, we'll do our best. But as if possible, so far as it depends on you, am I doing everything I possibly can to foster that heavenly environment? Am I operating in a way that God can operate through me? Am I benefiting actually from his kingdom in me as I begin to align my values with the Heavenly Father? And this isn't a magical formula either. It's interesting to note that the church I referred to when I went to that conference, the way they treated me was natural to them. It seemed normal to them. That church has seen some significant experiences of the kingdom of God. I'm talking about Renewal Church in Solihull, for those of you that know it. You know, they've seen some significant expressions of the kingdom of God operating. But that wasn't because they gave Bob Phillips a parking space. It's just because the whole environment and culture is somewhere that God can operate in. It's somewhere he chooses to reside. And this was Paul's objective, you know, when he was talking to the Roman church. He wanted all of heaven's environment to be operating on earth in Rome or wherever these guys were. I guess it was in Rome. And this is a favourite bit of scripture of mine. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51 verse 10. I had it as my password at work on my computer. It's really good to use scripture as your password, because every time you do it, put your password in, you go over that scripture in your mind again. I mean, you're fortunate that I've changed my password, otherwise I would have to kill you all. I do appreciate that, don't you? You know? But this is what the psalmist wrote. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. So it's not all through your own effort. It's quite okay to say, God, will you help me? Will you do your work in me in order that you can operate through me, in order that your kingdom can be expressed in me, in order that the heavenly environment that you so love to reside in can be in me? And it's wonderful, really, that, you know, this is what God wants, but he actually helps you to do it. He actually enables you to do it. And I think as a church, you know, this is something that we're going into. And I really I'm quite excited about what I believe God wants to operate through us, because he wants his heavenly environment to be very natural and normal to us. And what I felt we'd do actually is that I'm going to give opportunity for people to respond to this. And the way I'm going to do that is, well, you might think to yourself, oh, I'm not going down the front. You know, that's what weak, needy people do. Or whatever you think. I don't know what you think. But what I want to say to you is I'm going to give opportunities for people to come forward. And I feel God is actually saying there's something significant about you coming forward. Okay. And I believe that he then actually wants to speak over you. And I've chatted this through with Richard, and there's Richard and Dave and Wendy and Jacqueline, and we actually think that God wants to speak over you. So what we're going to do is we're going to just go back to worship But then at the end of that, we're going to give opportunity for people to come forward. And what I really want you to, what I think is right to consider is the objective. What you want, or what your heart's desire is. Okay, to promote the kingdom of God and to create that heavenly environment. So that doesn't rely on how you're feeling today, or how you operate today, or whether you're not feeling very well, or whether you just haven't listened to a word I've said. You know what I mean? It doesn't rely on your feelings now. What I'm encouraging you to do is to respond with full knowledge of the objective of what your desire is for. That scripture says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, if you can align yourself with that, you might think you're already doing it, but God wants to do it more. And I believe there's something actually very significant about you actually coming forward. So I'm going to ask the worship group to come back up if they can. And this is something that we can actually get excited about. The kingdom of God operating through us as a church, the kingdom of God operating through us as a people, as individuals having that heavenly environment about us, as individuals, as a church, being and operating where God wants to be. And I actually think that's brilliant. It really is brilliant. And that's God's heart for us. So it's something we can get excited about.